are in a discussion that we actually started last time, but I want to come back to it. I want to go back to the beginning of the piece because it's really a unit, and it's the question of hiring oneself out to be able to pay off a debt. And there are three parts to this question. We started on the first part last time, but to play it broadly, number one, does Beis Din force someone to hire himself out in order to be able to pay the debt? That's question number one. Number two is there a personal obligation? Even if Beis Din cannot compel him to do so, does he have a personal obligation to hire himself out to pay the debt? Well, halachic slash moral, because we've said that there's a halachic obligation to pay one's debts, and we give all sorts of sources for it. So those might trigger the obligation to hire oneself out, in which case it's really halachic and not only moral.
Maybe another question: to whom is the debt owed? Is it an individual, a gemach, Jewish organization? What if it's not even Jewish?
Either way, my obligation to pay my debt.
So the evil for mortgage then?
Correct. Because my obligation to pay my debt may be as simple as the way Rashi put it, that when you say yes, it has to mean yes. And therefore you made a commitment, you have to keep it. It's keeping your word. It doesn't matter whether it's an institution or an individual or what, you know, to whom I made the declaration. I made a declaration, therefore I have to keep it. I mean, that's one possibility. Depends on how you understand what it is that obligates me to pay back a debt. But that would be the second question, is do I have a personal obligation? But then third, is there potentially an issur against, a prohibition against, hiring yourself out to be able to pay a debt? Maybe it's not only not obligatory for you to do so, but maybe you're not allowed to do so. Stemming actually from a pasuk in last week's parsha in Bahar. So those are the three aspects of this that we need to look at. And we begin with what we saw last time at the bottom of page Chaf. The footnote is Lamed Hay. He's commenting on the line in the Pisei Choshen on top that had said that some say that one is obligated to hire himself out. So Kasav HaRash B'tshuva, he quotes the Rush. We saw this at the end last time. Umashatoin Shimon Sheyasa Malacha Kedei Lefroa Chovo. Shimon, who was the creditor, claims that Reuven, the borrower, should go do work, get himself a job in order to pay back the debt. Ain Beis Din Kofenos Olakach. So Beis Din does not compel that. Shalom Amra Torah Ela VeHaisha Sharatano Shabo Yotzi Alecha Es Ha'avot. Because all the Torah says is that the shaliach of Beis Din or you stand outside, and he brings out the payment or the collateral. Vafilu Shliach Beis Din. Even the shaliach of Beis Din is not able to go into the house and so on. Kol Shekein Shalom Yishlach Beis Din Yad Begufo Lachofo Lihishtabed VeLifroa Chavo. Certainly then, Beis Din is not going to enslave this person to require him to pay off the debt, to enable him, I should say, to pay off the debt. So goes the argument. But how does Rabbeinu Tam b'tshuva? This is still the Rush talking. And he quotes Rabbeinu Tam as having said so. Ki echi de darshina, like the drasha, b'gnevaso velo bizmamo velo b'kfeilo. And here I refer you to source Aleph. This is a key source. Source Aleph on your side sheet is a Gemara in Kiddushin. The Torah says, "Vinimkar bignevaso," right? The person will, a person who steals, will be sold as an eved to refund his debt for the theft. Velo bikfelo, but not in order to pay off the doubling for gneva, just the core amount. If he can't pay the fine, he does not get sold off. Bigineva so, only for his theft, velo bizmamo, but not if he was an aid zomim and he needs to pay because of what he was going to obligate somebody else to pay. And bigineva so, kevan shanimkar pamachas shuv I atarashai lemochor. Do you want to just take this? Oh, you have it, okay. Kevan shanimkar pamachas shuv I atarashai lemochor. We're in source Aleph. Once he is sold once, you're not allowed to do it again. You're not allowed to sell him off again. It only works once. Now, the point here in this Gemara, and this is key to understanding what Rabbeinu Tam does, is that he doesn't understand this drasha to mean literally. The Torah says he is sold off for his theft, and the Torah means to exclude specifically, and not for kefil, and not for eitzomim. Rather, what it's saying is, only for theft and not for anything else under the sun, of which these are illustrations. Kephel, Ezomim, these are just illustrations of that for which you wouldn't be sold off. And therefore, when you get to the question of what about someone who just borrowed money and isn't paying back, we're going to say he's only sold for his geneva. He is not sold for his hope, even though the Gemara didn't say so. Follow? The Gemara didn't say that. But that's what he—that's what Rabbeinu Tam is going back into the Pisei Chosha. Now we're at the bottom of page Chaf. We are six lines up from the bottom. The quotes the Gemara in Kiddushin: "Begneva so v'lo bizmamo v'lo bekfelo," and he says, "Hachi nami darshinan." So we also analyze and say, "V'lo bepera on chovo," that he is not sold off to pay for his debts, "V'lo bemizonos ishto," or to pay for mizonos for his wife. Now, what he has said makes a leap. There's a leap in his statement. The leap in his statement is...
Sorry?
Oh, okay, yeah. The door should not be locked.
No, it's not there.
Oh,
there was an anchor in it. Must have felt bad.
There was.
I came in.
Don't know. We'll give Byron the chance to come back.
What's his name again?
Byron.
Byron.
What's the name of, what's the meaning of the last, the end of the...
Yeah, sure. Once he, if he, again, well, no, the question would, the question hypothetically might be the, let me leave the hypothetical. Let's take a look in the Kiddushin after. Everything okay? Okay. Is it propped open now?
He's just making sure it's
open. Okay, thanks. So, the statement here is, although that's an effective way to deal with people coming late, you know. He says, when the Gemara excludes these things from paying for the sold off, so too a debtor. However, we weren't talking about selling somebody into avdus. We weren't talking about selling someone as a slave, right? We were talking about telling him get a job. That's not the same thing as becoming an eved ivri. So therefore, the Pisei Chosha now needs to make an additional step and explain why getting a job is like becoming an eved ivri. And so he says...
Nobody challenges, you know, we spoke about that these are only the two exceptions.
Correct. Everyone seems to accept this idea...
That these are just examples.
That these are examples rather than specific.
Nobody said must be somebody.
Somebody might. But I went looking and I didn't find. Because my gut was to assume it was specific. But, yeah. He says that hiring oneself out, that's called selling oneself. Kediyamrinan, he quotes you Gemara Bava Metzia. So the Gemara Bava Metzia, I brought you in source Gimel on your sheet. Okay. Source Gimel. Source Bet is a tshuva of the Rush, which I think we quoted last time. So I brought it again on your sheet, but it's not necessary for us to go back through it. But that's the that was the Rush's tshuva. But he says here, Boy Rabbi Zera, this is an interesting question. It starts out having nothing to do with what we've been talking about. He's dealing with the issue of Ona'a. Ona'a, we're usually used to in terms of purchases, is the rule that you can't charge someone more than 1/6 over the going rate, or if you are a buyer, you can name a price that's less than 1/6 below the going rate. Leave aside how the calculations are done, that's just a basic principle. And the question is, does Ona'a apply when you're dealing with schirus, when you're dealing with hiring yourself out to do a job? So charging, let's say they want you to build a wall, and the price for building walls is $1,000 per square, whatever it is, or not square because it's a wall, but you know what I mean, and you're going to charge more than 1/6 above that. Would the laws of Ona'a apply? Schirus yesh lo ona'a o ein lo ona'a. Is there ona'a, this issue of the 1/6, on employment? And they quote the pasuk that we've already been using, v'chisim, well, that, no, I'm sorry, we quote the pasuk from Parshas Behar, v'chisim karu mimkar. That pasuk is the source for ona'a, and it says, v'chisim karu mimkar la'amisecha, when you sell something to your friend, your peer, al tonu ish esachiv. Do not commit ona'a to each other. So, the chisim karu memkar amar rachmana avalos chirus. So the first way to look at it is to say that pasuk only talks about sales. It's not talking about an employment agreement. It's talking about hiring. It's talking about doing engaging in commerce.
So it's not about building a wall. It's about working.
It's not about working at all. It's not about working at all. It's about selling goods.
No, the question, yeah.
It's about selling goods, beginning, middle, end. O Dilma, or perhaps Loshna, or maybe not. Maybe it includes employment as well. We're asking a question. Is Memkar only Memkar? Sales alone? Or is it also potentially involved in other types of arrangements? So Omar Le Abaye says, Miksiv Memkar Le Olam. Abaye says, well, the Pasuk doesn't say when you sell Le Olam. Memkar Le Olam, selling Le Olam, would indicate that you're dealing, maybe would indicate that you're dealing with sale alone, that you're dealing with just selling an object to somebody else. And he says it doesn't say that. It says memkar stomach siv. It only says memkar selling. V'hai nami biyomei mechirehi. When you hire yourself out to do a job, you are selling yourself for that day. That's the way that in Bava Metzia, Abaye looks at employment. He says, when you hire yourself out, I'm going to do a job for somebody, you are selling yourself. We may not like that. That sounds very unappealing in terms of the modern parlance. Nonetheless, that's what he says. He says, this is the way we look at employment. And therefore, taking it back now to our discussion, since you're willing to tell me that memkar, sale, is a term that will apply to employment, and since you told me back in Source Aleph, the Gemara in Kiddushin says that one is not sold off to pay a debt, right? So put the pieces together, and what we're saying is you don't have to go out and get a job in order to pay a debt. Because you're not sold, and sold includes getting a job in order to pay a debt. That's the idea that's being assembled here. Okay, take a look back at the Pesach Choshen, bottom of page Chav, five lines up from the bottom. Kedamrin and Berak Hazav, like the Gemara that we just saw in Bava Metzia, Schirus Leyome Memkarhu, that being hired out for the day, that is called a sale. So he says, that's now going to tell me that you're not obligated. Umashahaya Omer Rabbi Rabbeinu Eliyahu. This was the last point that we had seen last time. The view of Rabbeinu Eliyahu, one of the authors of the Tosfos, Shechayev Lahaskir Atzmo Ulafarnes Ishto. He says that in a case where someone cannot support his wife, he has to go out and get a job in order to do so. Rabbeinu Tam Nechlak Olav. So Rabbeinu Tam, who said, no, you don't get a job to pay your debts, so Rabbeinu Tam disagrees. Or it could be it's not a full disagreement. It could be Rabbeinu Eliyahu will agree in every case other than marriage. It could be that he will say that marriage is unique. You would only be obligated to get a job in order to feed your wife. Umisefer Ksuba Nilmad, and we'll learn it from the Ksuba, turn to page Chafala. Because you write in it, I am going to work, and I am going to ... But the promise to get a job. So that's first phase. First phase says, number one, as a given, Beis Din is not going to sell this person off. And number two, it sounds like he's not obligated to go get a job. That's Rabbeinu Tam / the Rush. Rabbeinu Eliyahu disagreed, but maybe his disagreement was only when it came to marriage. Now we get into a tangent. Top line in the Pesach Choshen on Chaf Aleph. Tangent here. Ve'af al gav de harosh mode lich ora l'shitas Rabbeinu Eliyahu al kolpanim b'ksuva mishum shakasa vana eflach. He says, even though the Rush seems to agree with Rabbeinu Eliyahu, at least regarding the Ksuva, he's going to agree and say, well, you wrote in the document that you're going to work, so therefore you have to do so. But he says, wait a minute. The case that the Rosh was asked about, the case that was put before him of the creditor saying, hey, the borrower has to go out and get a job, was a case also in which it had been stipulated in the loan document that he was going to get a job. He says, if you go back to the tshuva of the Rosh, that's clear in the language of the ksub, of the sheila, of the question that's asked of him, that was the circumstance. And then why does the Rosh say that he's exempt? You follow? So he's going to give us three answers. First answer comes from the Prisha. Prisha is a classic commentary to the Torah. Kasav HaPrisha, that's Rabbi Yeshua Falk, I believe. Kasav HaPrisha. Disha'ani ksuba. The Prisha's answer is because ksuba is unique. Why? Shebechol ksuvos kosvin kein. Because they write this in all of the ksuvos. Right? You've never heard a ksuba read aloud at a chuppah without the words vana eflach va'okir, etc. It's always there. So what? Tznai gamaru. That convinces me that this is a real condition of the ksuba and that everybody expects to have to do this. Mash'ein kein b'sh'ar sh'daros, as opposed to other documents. Af kishakosev eino ela asmachta. Even if someone writes it, he's not serious. He was saying, I'm really going to pay you back. He didn't mean to say, and literally, I'm going to go out and get a job in order to do so. It's kind of funny, because I would have intuited the opposite. Yeah, I would have said, right, I would have said, if you put it in a document where it doesn't normally appear, then you're serious. If it shows up in the ksuba, that's just because everybody else's ksuba has it. So I would have assumed the opposite. Nonetheless, that's his first answer. Second answer comes from the Bach. And here I brought you the full text of the Bach. I felt that it made it more clear. Take a look at your side sheet in source Dalet, please. He answers this way. The Av al Gab de Benidon Shenish al Olav Harosh. Haya halove masne beferush lehishtabed velazos malacha kedele froachovo. Even though, in the case where the question was asked, that the Rosh was asked about, the borrower made the condition explicitly that I'm going to get a job kedele froachovo to pay off the debt. Afilu hachi, even still, anan beidina ein kofin oso. We are not going to compel him to get a job because we're not going to compel him to do something that is against the Torah's laws. Hang on. He says, if the guy just said, I want to go out and get a job, we wouldn't stop him. But what they're saying is you're obligated to get a job. We're going to obligate you to do so because you made the condition. Aval anan lo kaifinole. But we aren't going to force him to do so. You can say to him, you signed a document that says, but we are not going to compel him. We're not going to put Beis Din in the position of requiring someone to do something which the Torah itself did not obligate him to do. Right now, that's why I'm taking it, Dan. Not that it's in violation of a law of the Torah, but that the Torah doesn't require it. The Torah has a set of rules for payment of debts. The Torah does not say you have to do it. We're not going to put the Beis Din in a position of enforcing something that the Torah does not require. We may say to him, you know, you made a commitment, go do it. But Beis Din is not going to become the enforcer for something that the Torah specifically does not require. Using a mechanism the Torah has for theft cases and applying it to loan cases is overstepping the bounds of what a Beis Din is supposed to do. But then he concludes and says, Beis Din is not going to compel him because there is also a potential prohibition involved. And I mentioned that at the very outset, there's a potential prohibition involved. I said that in the beginning. We're going to visit that. So we're not done yet with this idea of the person. Nope, prohibition for him to go get a job. There may be a prohibition against him getting a job. So what that means, we're going to have to come back to. But that's the Bach. Take a look now, back in the Pesach Choshen, and here we'll see what's going on as he walks us through the Bach and adds a key note. We are at the end of the fourth line in his lower part commentary. V'habach. V'habach tirates. The Bach answered the question of why is the Rosh not obligating him? It's written in the document. Yeah, it's true. If he wants to hire himself out, we're not going to stop him. And we'll even say to him, yeah, you are obligated. Because you made that a condition of your document, of your loan. But based in Yechol Machofo, but based in cannot compel him. Umashma mi divrei habach. So the implication, he says, of what the Bach is saying, is that if this fellow hires himself out, like we're telling him he's supposed to do, there's no Isser. Isser of what? Avdus. Do you recall a pasuk from last week's Parsha, in which the Torah said, Kili b'nei Yisrael avadim, avadai hein. Hashem says, the Jews are my avadim. But he says it twice. They are avadim to me, they are my avadim. Says the Gemara on that. Did I bring it on the sheet? I don't see it here. But the drasha on it is that you are servants to Hashem and not avadim la avadim. You're not supposed to be a slave to a slave, meaning a slave to a human being. You're a slave only to Hashem. And that would be the potential Isser. You are violating the law that says you are not supposed to be a slave to a human being, you're only supposed to be a slave to God. So he says here, if a person hires himself out willingly, there's no Isser. And as the Bach continues to say, since it's not a violation if you're doing it willingly, therefore it's not called like you're making your condition in the document of, if I can't pay you back, I'll get a job, in violation of the Torah. It's not so. It's not a condition that violates the Torah. The Shulchan Aruch's conclusion is that even if you actually state the condition, you are not going to be obligated to do so. You're not going to be obligated to get a job. So, the first answer, the Prisha's answer is, Ksuba is different because you're serious in a Ksuba, you're not serious in a loan document. That was the first answer. The Bach's answer is, we aren't going to compel you because if we would compel you, we would be using the Beis Din to violate a prohibition. What is the prohibition? Enslaving someone. The person is allowed to make such a condition for himself, and it is binding for himself because he committed to it, but we will not say that there is going to be a... We will not argue that there is going to be a use of Beis Din here to fulfill this. Clear so far? But then he has one more note within this before he gets to his third and last answer on this point. Vitzarech Iyun. He says, you have to analyze this. She'im ha'isr shum avdus. If the prohibition is really about don't make yourself an eved, im kain, if so, bimalacha bikablanus. Shein bamishum avdus lamalone chayevo. So, clever question. There are two different types of employment in the Torah. One is called, we'll call it a schir yom, or schirus in general, which is where you're hired for a period of time. And every day, at certain hours, you have to show up and do whatever it is that you're going to do. That's one. That is the one that's like an eved, because you have a fixed period of time for which you are bound to this person's wishes. However, there's another type of worker. And the other type of worker is called a kablan. The kablan is somebody who says, I'm going to do a given job for you. It's sort of in U.S. tax law. It's sort of the difference between a W-2 and an independent contractor. One of the ways in the U.S. to distinguish between a W-2 employee and an independent contractor is the question of, does he act on his own time? Can he set his own hours or his own place of work? If I hire someone and say, build a cabinet for me. So he can build a cabinet, you know, at 11 o'clock at night or 3 in the afternoon. He can build it in his workshop, he can build it in his house. It doesn't make a difference. I have no right to prevent him from doing so. That makes him an independent contractor. If I am able to say to him, though, you have to show up at 4 in the afternoon to work on this cabinet, you have to do it in my house or in your shop or whatever it is, if I have the power to do that, then he's really my employee. And as far as halacha is concerned, and this is the point of picking up on here, the W-2 employee is more like the Eved. Because the Eved, you tell him where to do it and when to do it. The Kablan is not. He's doing a job. He's contracted out to do a job, and he'll get you the stuff when by whatever time he pledged he was going to get it to you. So he says, if the problem that you have with forcing this guy to hire himself out to pay back the debt is, well, it's like slavery, so require him to become a kabbalon. Tell him he should build furniture for people. Right? Then he's not an eved, because it's not a time-bound thing. So why won't we compel him to do that? The Rosh and all the authorities did not make any such distinction. The Chazon Ish wrote explicitly that according to the view that he's not obligated to hire himself out because that would be like slavery, he's also exempt from becoming a kabbalan, because we're going to expand Source Aleph even further now and say that not only does Vinimkar B'Gnevaso exclude Kefel and Eid Zomim, and not only does it exclude, as we said in the beginning tonight, Chov, it also excludes becoming a kabbalan. We're now expanding that still further. So that's the second answer. The second answer to the question of why is it that you're not forcing him to fulfill the shtar is because that would be like slavery. Got it?
Even if he's a kabbalan.
And yes, even if he's a kabbalan, apparently he's not bound by this. That was the chiddush here. Yeah, that is correct. Then we get the third and final answer for why we're not going to enforce the condition he made in the document. The Machane Ephraim explained the position of the Rosh, saying, he says, if the guy did a full kinyan, an active transaction, picked up the pen, whatever it was, demonstrating seriousness, then yeah, he is going to be obligated to do so. He'll be obligated to go get a job. The Rush's case was where there was no act of kinyan. You need the act of kinyan. Whenever an action is taken, contractually, which we think may not be so serious, it could be serious and it might not be serious. It might just be asmachta. He's just saying something to convince the guy to be in the transaction with him. Then we require kinyan to demonstrate that it is serious. The act of kinyan shows, it's like saying someone shake on it. It's a serious thing. So here there was no kinyan, and that's why the Rosh didn't enforce it. Va'afilu b'kinyan, ein ha'malva yachol ishtabed bo. But even with a kinyan, the creditor couldn't force it. Does nasa ke'eved ivri, meaning couldn't force it directly. He couldn't say, I'm going to be your boss. Does nasa ke'eved ivri, because that would be like a slave, shein or noeg bizman hazeh, which we don't have today. But Basin will compel him to hire himself out to a third party, and he says, see the Imre Bina, who has more of a discussion about this. But the third answer for why the Rush didn't enforce the contract is because there was no act of kinyan. Okay. But now he continues. Remember that I said in the very beginning tonight, that there were three aspects to this. Question number one is, does Basin compel him? Question number two is, does he have a moral obligation in his own right? And question number three is, might he be prohibited from selling himself? So we've now seen the question of the based in being of the based in forcing him. What did I say? Right. Okay. Yes. Personal. Thank you. The strike that from the record. The second piece now is his obligation himself. We have already suggested that where you wrote it into the document, you may have to do it. But let's talk about this more in terms of your personal obligation. So he says, Vihine, by the big word Vihine, beginning of the line. Harosh b'tshuva pasach b'kfias beizdin, v'siyem b'chiyuv l'haskir atzmo. The Rosh, in his tshuva, started out by talking about beizdin not obligating him to get a job, but then concluded, as we've seen, by talking about his perhaps personal obligation to hire himself out. Umashma shelashitas Rabbeinu Tam. It sounds like within the view of Rabbeinu Tam, who said we don't force him, Ulitzad Echod, l'shitas Rabbeinu Eliyahu b'shar chavos, and also within one view of Rabbeinu Eliyahu, the view that distinguished between ksuba and elsewhere, and said Rabbeinu Eliyahu only will require him to get a job for the ksuba, but not for other things. It sounds like af me'atzmo eino chayiv. It sounds like there is no personal obligation. Not only does Beis Din not force him, he's not obligated at all. U'b'shulchan Aruch se'iv tesvav kasav she'ein Beis Din kofen oson. The Shulchan Aruch writes, Beis Din does not compel him. V'lo yizkir im chayiv me'atzmo olam. He did not mention whether he has a personal obligation or not. U'b'shulchan Aruch harav kasav she'eino chayiv lahaskir atzmo. And the Shulchan Aruch harav of the first Lubavitcher Rebbe says he's not obligated to. Remember that pasuk? We said when we talked about your obligation to pay off debts that there's a pasuk in Mishlei that describes somebody as wicked if he borrows and doesn't pay back, assuming he has the means of doing so, which was a conversation that we had a while back. Nonetheless, you will not be obligated to get a job in order to get money in order to pay. It does appear that he does have an obligation to remove the title of Russia for himself. But the question is, how far does that go? Does that extend to getting a job to get money in order to pay, or just giving the money that you have? So he says that you have to go back to the discussion about Lover Rasha Velo Yishalem that we had, and we talked about if he was Ones in the beginning and he was Ones at the end, right? Did he have money that he squandered, right? Remember we had that whole discussion already way back when. Uba Aruch HaShulchan Mechalek. Now the Aruch HaShulchan makes a very interesting distinction, and here I actually brought you the Aruch HaShulchan in source Hay. It's a very odd distinction. I don't know if it's psychology that he's playing with here or what. But take a look. The Aruch HaShulchan writes on this issue. Uledeya zu hiskimu raboseinu balei HaShulchan Aruch. The authors of the Shulchan Aruch agreed with this point of view that says, Dikshayeshlo ve'ena rotza l'shalim, that if somebody has the money but doesn't want to pay, Beis Din choshen oso, Beis Din will imprison him. Ve'kofen oso l'shalim, and Beis Din will force him to pay, assuming he has the money. But if he doesn't have, if he doesn't have the means, ein kofen oso lahaskir es atzmo, we do not force him to hire himself out. Velo lasos malacha, we don't force him to go get a job. Im ein hu bal malacha ad ata. You see those words? That's new. We don't force him to do it if he hasn't been a worker until now. Where did that come from? What does that even mean? And in the brackets, you see the nun lamed. Nun lamed means near Ali. It's my point of view. He's not quoting you anybody. He's just saying, I think this last clause makes sense. And he continues, k'dei lefrach avosav, to be able to pay off his debts, delo al kavana zu hilvahu ve'ich yichfuhu Beis Din lazeh. The loan was not extended with that in mind, and Beis Din is not going to force it. In other words, what he's suggesting is, maybe, it turns it into asmachta. You know? It's like an asmachta now. Since he's never had a job before, why should I believe that he's going to go out and get a job in order to pay me back? Yeah?
What were you thinking day one when he gave him money and don't pay us?
Maybe he thought he had an inheritance.
What if he had a job before?
So then he's saying he would be obligated to. That's what the Aruch HaShulchan is saying. He's giving you a qualifier. He's saying the only case in which we say we're not going to force him is the case in which he had never held a job before. So therefore, you didn't really expect that he was going to pay it off. That's the Aruch HaShulchan's statement. I think he's rendering it as a smachta. Take a look back in the Pisei Choshen at his quote.
This is very important.
Yeah, the Rama. Yeah. U'ba'aruch HaShulchan mechalek, she'im ad ata lo hiskir atzmo, the Aruch HaShulchan distinguished, saying if he had not hired himself out in the past, ein kofenoso, we will not compel it now. U'mashma, sounds like, she'im ad ata hiskir atzmo, kofenoso, that if he had hired himself out before, then indeed, kofenoso, we will force it. V'kach kasa v'imri bina hanal b'shem b'shem haradvaz. Now, so the Rebbeinu, according to Radvaz, Aval ha'im Rebbeinu kasav shemilashon haShulchan Aruch mashma shebechol open in kofenos. The Shulchan Aruch did not seem to distinguish. The Shulchan Aruch language was flat. We don't force him to get a job. They didn't make any distinctions. Okay. Last point here. U'bishar ha'mishpat kasav. This now transitions us to the third point. The first point was based in and their willingness to compel him. Beeson is not compelling him. The second one, does he have a personal obligation? And we seem to say no, with the possible distinction of, well, it depends on the idea that the creditor had in mind when he extended the loan. The other thing I'm thinking about, just I had mentioned the possibility that it's a smachta, but the truth of the matter is, we're dealing with a case. If you use the Rush's case, then it was written in the document, then I could be right about a smachta. But otherwise, if we're not dealing with the Rush's case, there was nothing written in the document about getting a job. So then I really wouldn't see how you could obligate him to do so. Even if the creditor did think that was what's going to happen, that doesn't bind the borrower. It wasn't a stated term of the agreement. Side thought. Okay. Going to the Shaar HaMishpat now, though, the third point, the question of, is he even allowed to hire himself out? Is there a prohibition against getting a job? U'b'Shaar HaMishpat Kasa, Detalya B'Plugta. The Shaar HaMishpat says that the debate about whether you can compel him or not depends on another debate. Sha'arash va'tur sovrim, shekol schirus yesh ba'isar abdus. The Rush and the Tur, who say don't compel him, believe that any time you go out and get a job, you're becoming an eved. Like we said in the beginning, that's a form of selling yourself. Ukumo shekasa va'tosfos, as Tosfos wrote, dimashemutur lahaskir atzmo kepoel, Hainu mishum sheyachol anzer bo be'emtza. Tosfa says, you know why you're allowed to get a job ever? Because you're an at-will employee. That's the within halacha, employees are at-will employees, meaning that if they hire you to build a wall, you're allowed in the middle of the day to forfeit the rest of your salary and say, I'm going home. On condition that your leaving is not going to damage the work already done. That's a condition of that rule. If by leaving, you will harm the enterprise. So you're building, you know, an arch for him. And you go home leaving out the middle thing and the whole thing is going to collapse. The keystone, right? That's not an option. But otherwise, you are allowed to. So he says, that's what Tosfos says is what allows you to hire yourself out to do a job, is the fact that you are an at-will employee. The imkain, im nechayev oso lahaskir atzmo. So if we are going to obligate him to hire himself out, afilu belokfia, even without compulsion. Okay, if we're just going to say you have to do this, we're not going to actually sit on him to do it. Hareza ke'eno yacholavs or machmas chiyuvo. Well, you know what we've done? We've now created a non-at-will employee. If we're turning to him and saying you must get a job, then he no longer can leave in the middle. Right? Because we're sitting on him saying, get to work. You need a paycheck so you can pay back the debt. We have now made him an eved. Sorry? Theoretically, yes. I suppose so. But he's not accepting that. That's all one point of view. Now, there's more to see on this. You see, Vav Zayin Ches, we're not done. We're not going to complete this discussion today. But we're going to make some good headway at any rate. Aval, however, second side of the machlok, yes? Lesvaras haram ba'agaz Mordechai, the sha'ad gimel shanim muter lahaskir atzmo, there's another point of view. The second point of view says, no, I'm allowed to be an eved for up to 3 years. You're allowed to sign up to a 3-year non-back-outable, so to speak, contract. I don't know what the opposite of at-will is. What's the opposite of being an at-will employee?
Under duress.
Under duress.
It's called an indentured in England.
Indentured, right.
Where you're obligated to turn up. That's what articles were. You had to come in.
So there you go. So he says here, you are allowed to be to take on this indentured position for up to 3 years. Sheyesh lo din poel velo din eved. Up to 3 years, you have the status of a poel, not the status of a slave. V'chein pasak ha-Rama, and so ruled the Rama. We're going to see it, God willing, on the sheet. B'simen shel namigimel siv gimel. Im kein, if so, ad gibel shanim ein iser abdus. There's no prohibition of slavery until you hit the 3-year mark, for reasons that we'll explain. 3 years is not you know, random or pulled out of a hat. Therefore, im nechofei wa yidei beizdin af toch gibel shanim harei anu mevatla mimenu as chus lachzor v'aser aval. So if we're going to force him by beizdin and say you can't leave, in that case, then even within the 3 years, we are making him into an Eved. That's not a Poel. That's an Eved. Because we're forcing him to stay. That's indentured. I shouldn't have mixed together indentured in 3 years. Let me divide the two. Being a Poel is fine as long as it's up to 3 years. Since you can leave any time, you're okay, unless you make a 3-year deal, in which case, even as a Poel, you have a problem. That's one type. Second type is if he's actually going to be indentured, if he's going to be indentured, even for a day, it's no good. He's an Eved already. You follow? Make sure this is clear. To be a Poel is okay up to 3 years. That means an at-will employee. To be indentured, not even for a day. So he says, if we're going to force the guy to go get a job, then that's indentured. And that's no good even for a day's worth. Aval, but he continues. But Mesheino Yocholangs or Machmas Chiyuvau, if the reason he can't back out is because he accepted this obligation of I'm going to get a job to pay, Kevan Shemidina Yocholangs, or since by letter of the law he could have backed out, he just chose to obligate himself. Ein Beze Isser Abdus, there is no prohibition against slavery involved. It's like if you hire somebody, and legally he is an at-will employee, but he volunteers to you and says, I'm not going to break the contract. So that was his decision. He made that statement. That's fine. We're good with that. Until 3 years. Okay, yeah. V'lachein, although there, I think there are punishments if you break the contract. In the army?
Right. Yeah, I mean,
he no, because you're signing something that indentures you. That's no good. And therefore he will be obligated to hire himself out for up to 3 years. Ayin Shan. So working with this idea of the Shara Mishpat, that's the fundamental machlokes, that according to the Rush and the Tur, all hiring out is Eved hiring out. Whereas according to the Hagos Mordechai, that's not true. Only if it's a 3-year term or if it's indentured. That's where it is that's where it's a problem.
Beyond the 3 years.
Right, 3+, correct. He says, let's say the amount you owe is more than 3 years worth of work. Let's pretend that the type of work you're qualified for is going to earn you $50,000 a year. But the amount you owe is $200,000. So what do we do? Or let's say that's not the case, but the only job you can find is one in which they're going to sign you on for 3 years at the minimum. Well, in that case, he will be exempt even from being personally obligated. Even within the view of the Hagos Mordechai. Since there is a prohibition against slavery, we will then go back to the view of the Tosus and the Rush. Now, side note, he has concluding this, there's room for doubt. Couldn't we say that a person can voluntarily waive the prohibition against Abdus in order to fulfill the mitzvah of paying off a debt? So that's sort of its own parsha. Yeah, in this discussion. But the upshot of what we've seen, to sum up what we've seen, and we still have to see Vav Zayin Ches, because these are critical to the discussion, and they're really interesting pieces here about long-term employment contracts. But the statement that we've seen so far is that, number one, Beis Din is not going to compel somebody. Number one. Number two, where he writes it into, with a possible exception of Ksuba. Number two, where he writes it into the document, the Rush still didn't do it. Either because he thought it was a smachta, one. Two, because of the Isser Avdus. Or three, because there was no Kenyan done in that particular case, but normally he would be okay with it. We then asked, is he obligated to hire himself out personally, even if Beis Din isn't going to compel him to do so? And we pointed out the problem of... not the problem of, but we said that it appeared that he's not going to be obligated to do so. That was the way that we had left it. The Aruch HaShulchan had that nuance of, well, what if he was a worker before? And then finally, the Isser to hire himself out, which plays out either if he compels himself, I'm sorry. Either if he's indentured or if he signs a contract for more than 3 years, even if it's only at will. That's the idea. And we'll have to pick up with that and see the last thoughts on that, God willing, next week.